Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and the Bot, and we're ready to rock again today. Phone lines here, 221-1402. If you have a little problem hearing us, go over to 1670 AM. They've got 10,000 watts there. If you're calling us from out of the area, it's 1-800-521-1989, and I can still read that from the other side of the studio.
Woohoo!
Hey, joined today by, he's got his hat off, but his hood up, Frosty.
That is me.
There you go. You know what? You are ready, huh?
I'm always ready.
Going to the fair this week?
Yes, want to.
Good. And, of course, speaking of having a great time, and it's like being with the circus, and fun is my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. It's such a great day. It's an exciting day. Gosh, we got the phones lit up. Let's go to Valerie. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Hi. It is a great day, isn't it?
Well, in case it's a fabulous day. This is Valerie Ing Miller, who is the voice on JPR, of course, and you will also see her announcing several of the shows at the Cascade.
Yes, and I've got my Cascade Theater hat on this morning.
Okay.
It is. I'll tell you, yesterday it was so busy down here at the Cascade Theater.
Well, you got a great rundown, what do you want to call it, lineup.
Well, we do, and yesterday was the first day that we opened up ticket sales to the general public for the entire JPR series that we're doing at the Cascade Theater for the whole year. Up until now, only members have been able to purchase tickets to our shows that start in July and go until next spring. But just yesterday, we opened up online and in-person and phone sales to the whole season. So you can tell all of your fans, your adoring fans that have been calling for weeks to try to get tickets to your show, that now they can. I can't tell you how many people have been trying to call and get tickets to that. It's going to be a great show.
Oh, well,
Martinis with Santa. It's kind of a martini year, actually, this year.
Well, that's right. And so, you know, just to plug in there, my show's the 15th of August, mm-hmm. but you also have, and we'll be doing a tribute to the troops and recording an album and stuff like that, but you also have Pink Martini.
We've got Pink Martini coming up in October. And
which
also
is a great band,
by the way.
We have
a film series. We've got the Foodie Film, the We're Cooking at the Cascade film series coming up in July. Not every Friday, but starting July 10th. Every Friday in July, we're going to have a film at the Cascade Theater paired with a cooking demonstration following the film. But before the film, we've got mixologists that are going to come on and show us how to make the featured drink of the evening.
You guys do it upright.
We're going to...
Hey, Valerie.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got a couple of changes to our, a couple of things that are a little bit different this year for the JPR series at the Cascade. The first thing that's different is that you can actually pick your seat now when you go online. If you go online to buy tickets, it was a little frustrating for people in the past because they weren't able to choose their seats. They just sort of had to let us choose the seats for them. But we have a new ticketing program now so that you can actually go online and choose your own seats for those shows that have reserved seating. Mm.
I had some friends that called yesterday and said, finally, the tickets are on sale. I went to Sacramento and San Francisco called some friends that are coming up for my show August 15th, and they said that it was great to be able to pick out the seats so they you can see the seating chart.
Exactly. You know, we have the best seats in the house, by the way, are in the loge. The first four rows upstairs, and those always sell out really fast. So now you can actually go online and see what's available there to see if you can actually get into the loge. And for your show, Linda, we are transforming the lounge upstairs into the Polar Bar, and the people who have loge seats get to go to a kind of an after party, a little martini dig with Santa,
get a special picture with Santa.
Yeah.
Well, Valerie, we always love hearing from you. We hope you call back and tell us what's exciting, what band is coming in, what show's coming up. We got to take a break here. We've been on the phone with Valerie Ing Miller here from Cascade and JPR, all the great stuff coming up. But right now, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk, KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in Newstalk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and the Bot. You know, we've got Gary Cadd here today, but we're going to, before we start that, there's something going on in the aviation community. Good morning, Irwin.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. How are you?
Fine. We're wonderful.
Thanks for waiting.
That's no problem at all.
So what's happening here on this weekend?
Well, of course, this week is Fair Week, you know, and a lot of things happening in the city of Reading, but we have a special event happening on Father's Day at Benton Air Park, and it's called Aviation Day. And this is it's an event that's been going on now for the past 26 years, and it's a free admission, free parking. Come on out and see antique aircraft, experimental aircraft, ultralights, model aircraft on display, and we also have the Reach helicopter that will be on display, as well as the Coast Guard helicopter from Humboldt Bay. And we have a special treat this year because we have the Huey helicopter that flew in Vietnam, and I think, Carl, you have some understanding of that. And that will be on display as well as the CHP helicopter. So we have lots going on at Benton Airfield. Again, we have a free admission and free parking. And besides that, we also have a breakfast that starts at 7 a.m. and goes to 11 a.m. Aviation Day itself goes until 2 p.m. So if you got your dad or your granddad, you want to bring them out to Benton Airfield, come on out and enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You can feed dad and you can walk around all the aircraft and everything and have a great time. This is really good what you all do, Irwin.
Yeah, by the way, we got fixed-wing aircraft rides for 15 cents a pound by Hillside Aviation. That's right. And helicopter rides by Air Shasta for $40 a person.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to get a good look at what your area looks like, take a plane ride or a helicopter ride and enjoy it.
You know, I highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it.
I do.
One of the last times I rode in a helicopter, people were shooting at me. You don't think that'll happen, will you?
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Unless we go over those pot plantations to the north. But okay.
I took a small craft up out of Benton Airfield and went over Whiskey Town. That in itself is just a treasure to see how you could see the roads under the water in Whiskey Town and see some beautiful places that are hidden. It's just so majestic. We have a beautiful place that we live here, and seeing it from the air is almost like, I guess, if you're a scuba diver, seeing the under the world under the water, and then the world from the air is completely different as well.
That's right, and you get a better perspective of the area you live in. And Whiskey Town Park is a beautiful park to see from the air.
Yeah.
You can even fly over and see the Whiskey Town waterfall over there. And that's kind of neat to see from the air.
Well, Irwin, thank you so much for your phone call and for what you're doing, and we'll talk about it again on Friday.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you later.
All
thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Nice day out there today.
It is a nice day.
Gary Cadd
is here to talk about the review, REU committee.
Right.
And we had
which you were on
mm-hmm. and you know, Mr. Slaughter and who else was on this?
Melinda Brown, Robert Meredith, and Charles Pohl.
First of all, we'd like to give a big shout out to everybody that was on that committee, because I mean, you all spent a lot of time and a lot of effort in this. And
we had I think there was actually a total of 10 meetings, and I didn't count the hours. I don't have the exact hours, but we're somewhere between probably 35 and 40 hours that we put in just in meeting time. That isn't all the time that we sat at home, you know, studying the issues and going over things that were being emailed to us and sent to us. So I've got a stack probably darn near a foot high of information at home that we went through. But, Carl, if I could, before we start that, something back on Memorial Day. The different services for Memorial Day, the one on Cypress Avenue,
Longcrest.
Yeah, I would like to comment on the Enterprise Music Department. Those kids came out and played beautifully. And I have to admit, tears came to my eyes when they played Echo Taps. And then again, we were out at my wife and I went out to Ono for the evening service out there. So, Enterprise Music Department, you do good.
They had a beautiful job, and the women, were dressed in black gowns. And there was such respect paid. And TAPS is, of course, from what I understand, not easy. So, yes, thank you for bringing that to our listeners' attention, because they did a spectacular job and always do. But that day was really something else.
Hey, Gary, before we're going to take a break here. We have to take a break, but I'm going to ask you this question when we get back. Was it worth it? This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
I'd make it.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. Okay, Gary, was it worth it?
No.
Whoa, tell us why, Gary.
Well, when you go through and you spend the time that you go through doing some of these things, it really was bothersome to me, and I won't speak for any other members of the committee, but I would imagine that some of them probably feel the same way, that when you work as hard as you do to try to make some changes, and the changes were made were small. I don't mean to say that they weren't needed, one of the changes, like with abatement, we tried to change the abatement policy. Now the abatement policy is going to be codified so that the city will move people out of their homes just for having electricity turned off, which is not. Some people say it's substandard. It's not even actually substandard. But if someone...
I thought they said that they would not move them out unless there was a dangerous condition.
It's substandard. So if the electricity is off, they can move them out. And they'll have under... Let's put it this way. Let me expound on what I'm talking about. Under electrical wiring problems... which almost every home has an electric wiring problem. If you had someone go in to check it, so those can be found quite easily. Then young children and elderly, and then et cetera. So that list is set up to where that list can be added to.
Et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not a closed off issue. So, and one thing that tremendously bothers me is with children. Now, as some of you folks out there know, I lived in Alaska for quite a long time, and while I was there, I was a legislative aide. And part of my duties as legislative aide was working with what up there is called Family Youth Services. Down here is called CPS, Children Protective Services. And when a family gets put into that system, their whole life changes. The whole world changes for the parents and for the children. And to move someone out of their home for just the lack of electricity, and have the possibility of them being involved with CPS, to me, it hurts me in the heart. I mean, this is something that really gets to me.
Well, you know, Linda and I got behind this when we saw this, for the main reason that people that are busting their butt, they're working two jobs in an economy that's screwed up, and they get behind in their payments. Maybe they are paying, but maybe it's not enough. That, you know, this is not a lifestyle choice for them. This is something that they're doing with their kids. I'm looking at a single mother with kids and a deadbeat father or whatever. And they're being, I wonder if, are they being kicked out of their houses? And if they are, that's wrong. If you make a lifestyle choice, however, and you want to use your money for, you know, your drug of choice or your, you know, of whatever that is, or because you want to take a trip to Disneyland, hey, get out in the street. I could care less. I want to know that there is a net to help the ones that really truly deserve this help with part of that $2.4 million late fee. And I'm not sure that that's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, it's going to stay for the most part, it's staying in the general fund. And what's happened here is that the city has come up with the need in the general fund, and they have to find some way to pay for it. So they took the $2.1 million and put it into the general fund out of REU. Now the city says that's legal to do. My opinion is it's not. That we're banding around with opinions there. It's probably going to have to go to court to figure that one out. But we really need to be able to put a safety net under these folks. We've got people losing jobs left and right. Look at the unemployment rate we've got. Look at the people
again, what I'm saying is we got behind this was people that are being thrown out of their homes because they can't pay their electrical bills when we've got $2.1 million or $2.2 million in late fees who are trying to do their best in this economy that are not making lifestyle choices. The only lifestyle choices they're making is putting food on the table for their family, working it to the best of their ability, and if we are showing no compassion, there is something wrong here. And, you know, we can talk about REU, we can talk about Jim Hamilton, but let's talk about the real problem. If that's happening, it's strictly on the city council shoulders.
That's right, it is. And the city council needs to step up. And I think the council is stepping up. They're going to take up they're going to take up the issue of putting together an REU commission.
Yeah, an oversight commission.
An oversight commission to where these issues can be brought forward.
Okay. We're going to keep discussing this as soon as we get back. It's something that has to be done. There have been changes to the better, and we all know that. Okay, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have got the finest tobacco emporium in the western United States, maybe eastern. Yeah, I'm going to keep going on that.
Father's Day is coming up.
There you go, Father's Day.
You got something there, I'm sure.
Espresso Joe's, great Americans, and they support our community, and community should support them, and you all are. Okay.
Speaking of Father's Day.
Okay.
This is something that we don't do, but we're going to do it today, right here, because we, you know, we've got so many things going on, we've got so many things we want to cover. But I've got 5 tickets to the fair, so call and say I want the tickets. I'll put your name on it. They'll be at the front door, so here at the station, so you can
you get 2 tickets. Oh, you want all 5 tickets?
I'm going to give them 5. I mean,
okay, whoever wants 5 tickets, call and just say for you and your friends.
Yeah. 5 okay. Tickets, call 221-1402.
And the fair starts today. Don Burton's getting dunked at 1:30. I'm up for Friday. Okay.
Carl's getting dunked at 11
o'clock,
on, 11 o'clock on Friday.
Okay, now we've got just a number of things going here. And Gary, this was Gary's time, but Jim Nielsen has called in our assemblyman. He wants to talk about the budget real quick. Okay, Jim, thank you.
Good morning. I only got about 5 minutes, but the conference committee wrapped up last night about 7:30.
Okay.
The good news is $13 billion in cuts has been accepted. The bad news is there are no structural reforms yet. That will come, I believe. But the really bad news, in a breathtaking hour and a half debate in committee, $4 billion in taxes were voted out on the majority vote. $4 billion. It'll be voted later this week or the first or next on a majority vote on the floor, I expect, and the governor will veto it. But it was, as I said, breathtaking, and I think my quote about it, never before so few voted so fast to tax Californians so much. Within an hour and a half, $4 billion in taxes. Now, that isn't going to sell, and there'll have to be some more cuts that are a part of the ultimate deal. The budget's not over, but 1 month of marathon meetings of the conference committee have concluded. And there are some good things in it, and everything's not going to be just wiped out. Cal Grants and Cal Works, the programs that really do work, are not going to be completely wiped out. They're going to get trimmed just like about everything. The borrowing from local government has been stopped. That's good. We protected the rural sheriffs. That came as a surprise. It was a lot of hard work, but we were able to do that. The rural crime, not just the sheriff, but rural crime prevention monies, that's a huge victory for us. The bad news is the measure for all the parole stuff that's going to result in tens of thousands of unrehabilitated criminals being in our communities, that did pass, but we'll still fight that fight ahead. The issue now, the budget will go to the big 5, the Republican and Democratic leaders and the governor, and then probably some will be coming back to the conference committee. I expect votes on the floor on this majority vote taxes soon as later this week. But the rest of the package within the next week and a half.
Okay. Hey, Jim, we need to have you back on for the hour so we can talk about this because, you know, I've got a lot of questions, as do many of our listeners who write to us about what exactly does the Republican Party see a way of balancing this, and what exactly is the Republican Party offering to fix this?
Okay, and we we'll be happy to
talk
about it.
And we don't have enough time for it right now, of course. But the big thing is, okay, you know, we're fighting, you know, the Republican Party's fighting this and holding their line, but what are they offering to fix this? And I know that you said there's plans for this, so I think everybody needs to hear it.
You betcha.
Okay, Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Steve.
Good morning. I'll take the tickets.
You got them. Come on down. Pick them up.
Cool. Keep your ass up, man.
Thank you. Okay, let's go back to Gary Cadd. Usually, like we say, we don't give away tickets.
And Diane, we're sorry. I know.
Sorry, Diane, but you were like 10 seconds behind
Steve
him.
Steve was first. Sorry. Next time.
Thank you. Okay, Gary.
Yes. With the let's start with the commission, because I think we can look at what's been done up to now. That's past. That's behind us. We need to look to the future of what we can do with these problems for the future. And the future will be instituting a Reading Electric Utility Commission, say of five people. One person would be an electrical engineer, something along that line. One would be maybe an attorney from here in town, and three citizens. And these folks would look at the issues coming up before the electric utility. When the citizens have a problem, it would come up before the commission. They'd meet like once a month, and they would take up these issues, investigate the issue, and then turn around and take that issue to the city council. This commission would not have any authority to move anything forward. It'd have to go through the council, but at least we'd have that buffer to where folks can move forward and have a problem taken care of. I think right now sometimes some of these issues fall on deaf ears. The way it is now, and we need to change that. There seems to be a problem. There was one problem the lady brought before the committee, that her meter was running slow, and the city found that it was running slow, so they went back and charged her $751 for the previous year because that meter was a slow meter. Well, it's come to be find out that that the meter, when her house was built 5 years ago, there was a refurbished meter put in. And to my way of thinking, that's our use problem. That's not the customer, the ratepayer's problem.
Absolutely.
And I'm understanding that this isn't an isolated problem. I understand there's at least two or three other problems like this coming up. So I would hope that REU would do the right thing and refund the $751 to this single mom who is working two jobs and working hard.
Well, she was paying her bills. It's just that they found out, oh, hey, by the way, we made a mistake, so we're going to charge you, lady.
Right, and that's
hey, REU, eat it. You make enough.
Yeah. So, and the problem with it is, Carl, it's not just that this is a one-time deal. I'm finding out that there's at least two or three more situations on this meter thing coming up.
I'm sure. And, of course, you know, and there may be others that it's running too fast also. So, you know, in fact, I think it's running way too fast at our house. Hey, let's go to the phones. John.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Gary. How are you this
morning? Morning,
good
John.
Morning.
We've got somewhat of an eclectic show today. We're hitting everything.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
First of all, Gary, thanks for your and the rest of the committee's efforts on all of this, and thanks again for your candidness concerning the effectivity of what was accomplished.
Thank you. I agree
with your findings. It was my feeling from the beginning that it was going to turn out to be economically driven, and they weren't going to change a whole lot of things that were going to change the economic flow, although they say that they're going to.
We tried.
I know, and thanks again, like I said. Now, I want to ask Carl something. Because,
okay.
And you can all answer, and I don't care whether it's on the air or off. But realistically, what are we talking about here? You say it is on the shoulders of the city council. Can the city council be responsible for bill payment for those who lose their jobs? The city can't carry the load of 16% unemployment in Reading. This has to be addressed in a different level than saying it is the city council's responsibility. No. I don't pretend to have an answer, but it isn't a socialized provision of electric power that's going to resolve this issue.
No, and what I meant by that, and you know, and I guess sometimes I forget because I talk about it, I've talked about it other times, was that, again, going back, we're not, if somebody is making payments and they can't keep up with the cost, and they're trying, and it's got nothing to do with lifestyle choices, there's got to be something that we can do to help our neighbors, to help them get through there, you know, through this time. I mean, this is not going to last forever. And I'm not saying pay their bills, but I'm also saying is that there's, you know, there's money. If you take 10% of the money that comes in on late fees that goes into the general fund. You know, can we use that? Can we help it? Has anybody even looked at a way of doing this? And when I talk about the city council, I talk about the ultimate responsibility before we blame REU. See, blaming REU and Hamilton from code enforcement and the dog catchers or anything right. else in this town, it falls back on the leadership of this city that we voted in here, who should be working for us, and that's the city council.
Well, you know, it's not well advertised, and it's not even well stated, but I'm sure Gary can go into it better than I can. There is a fund available for people who need help.
And part of that, and you're right, but that is, that's a voluntary amount that people pay into it, I believe. And there's shares for the older people, and there's something else, isn't there?
Well, I don't have all the details.
Yeah, neither do I.
But I do know this, that the answer to this problem is not going to be completely underwriting people socializing their provisions of electric power. It just doesn't work. I'm not unsympathetic to people being unemployed and to the problems of not being able to pay, but it can't be an ongoing situation.
You know what, John? I agree. But there's got to be a better way than throwing a family out of their place for no electricity.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So now we've just got to do is find the way to do it.
Yeah,
and it's just like it's just
like I said, I don't pretend to have the answer.
Well, you know, this is why I'm hoping that we can, you know, I thought the committee would come up with something and that the city council could work with it. But anyway, hey, look, we've got to take a break here, John, but thanks so much for calling.
Enjoy it. Bye.
Hey, Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by New Image Photography Studios on Park Marina Drive, right next to the Bead Man there. Their numbers are 243-4301, address 2655. June 27th, they're doing a special day from 9 to 4 for $19. They're taking a picture of you and your pet. All you need to do is bring by a can of dog or cat food, and that's going to be given to another Chance Animal Welfare Shelter. And go to our website, freefireradio.com, and you'll get to see the spectacular work that they do. It's Dan and Julie at New Image Photography Studios.
Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you all today?
Wonderful.
Just fine.
Great. Hey, listen, I've got 2 points that I want to make, but before I do that, I'd like to thank the REU Review Committee members.
Thank you.
For all of their hard work, and I also want to thank all of the community members that got involved and did a lot of research and provided a lot of information.
And Joe, there was a whole bunch of those people that came forward and brought all kinds of information forward, and we thank them. I thank them for doing that.
Right. Okay, one point that I want to make, 2 points. First one being that I question the legality of targeting a particular group. And what I'm talking about is the sharing of this information from REU to code enforcement. And the reason I say that is I'm sure that there's a lot of homes that are out of compliance with codes or could be immediately dangerous. But by sharing this information from REU to code enforcement, there's a particular group of people that are being targeted for inspection and by code enforcement, and that's people that are low income, that are having financial difficulties being able to pay their bills. I question the legality of targeting a particular group of people.
And your second point?
And my second point is I would like to encourage the people of Reading to take a look at the 0405 grand jury report regarding Reading land purchase.
Okay.
And that is the situation where the city borrowed $1.5 million from REU. It was the finding of the grand jury that this was highly unusual and a practice that is unfair to the ratepayers of Reading. That money should be kept with REU to keep the rates down.
Yes.
It was also recommended by the grand jury that this money be paid in full and in a timely fashion, and that this payment was to commence in the year 2008. To date, I do not believe a penny of that money has been repaid from the city to REU.
No, you're right. I don't believe it has either. When you look at these issues, Joe, and you look at what is happening in the report that came out the other night, I'm still perplexed. As you know, that I talked about a commission, putting a commission together, and as Don called in a minute ago, I'd like to mention that I'm not speaking of subsidizing anyone. If someone owes the money for electricity and they fall on hard times, which we're experiencing all around us, our neighbors, everybody, that that we shouldn't be moving people out of their homes because they don't they can't afford to pay. Now, it's not saying that somebody else is going to pay their bill or that that the bill will be forgiven. I'm not looking at the city council for that. And I know we mentioned the city council here this morning, but the city council is the ultimate authority.
Absolutely.
So it's not that I'm wanting to beat up the councilors. It's that they are the ultimate authority, and that's where we, the people, the ratepayers, look for some relief in some of these different areas. And I'm hoping that this commission, when it's put together, will be able to talk to the people, be able to look at the issues, be able to look into customer service, which I think should be moved out of REU, because there seems to be in the last 3 or 4 years problems with that. So there's different areas that need to be looked into.
Absolutely, and I think that one of the areas should be treating REU as the city's cash cow, the money that goes into the general fund that is used to fund pet projects.
Yeah,
hey, it Joe, just is the land purchase. So,
yeah, Joe. Hey, Joe, thanks so much for your phone call. You've obviously done your research, and you've done it well. So thanks for your phone call. We've got to take a break. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We'll get your phone calls as soon as we return. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, look, this is Rapid Fire Zone because we've only got like a few minutes left. Martin.
Yeah, what this basically is the city of Reading and REU telling everybody within the city limits, you pay us for electricity or we will throw you out of your home.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yep, that's what
it feels like, huh?
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
And, you know, you can look at it as a business. Up to a point. It is a business. I mean, that's,
right.
That's what it is. I mean,
it's
they're here to provide electricity to us.
It's a monopoly.
And we've also got to balance that with if people don't pay, we're not going to have electricity. And but there's got to be a balance in there. And
yeah.
And that's what I think is missing.
Like you said when you opened your show, this is about abatement. And what the abatement is their tool for telling you you will pay or you will be out.
Well, that's the reason why I keep talking about a commission. The city council is a part-time city council.
Right.
And we jump on them, but, you know, being part-time, they don't have the time. And plus the fact, look at how many hats. Last Monday night, they had 4 hats on in one set of meetings that they were at.
Right, I understand that.
So, you know, we jump on them and we give them a bad time, but what we need to do is to have a commission to where we, people, the ratepayers, can step forward and say, hey, commissioners, we've got a problem here. Could you please look into this?
Yeah.
The commissioners look into it. They say, you know what? This ratepayer does have a problem. Hey, City Council,
we
need to do something about it.
I'd rather this be called an oversight committee because that's exactly what it is. Hey, Martin, thanks for your phone call.
Okay.
Lisa.
Hey, you know, they're talking about turning off electricity and how people can't afford to pay their bills right now. But here we go again. REU wants to spend $45 million on the tank project.
Oh, yeah.
Charge people 3% more on their bills for 30 years just for the tank project and not any other rate hikes.
And the
so
people.
I think that this is ridiculous when. People can't even pay the bill, and I'll take this off the air, the comments.
Yeah, and Lisa, keep in mind also that I'm told that it's back and forth at how it's going to be paid for, but it could be a 3% rate increase for the ratepayers here.
Well, that's what she just said, and that's what they're saying. And Huser said that. He came on the show, and he's upfront about it. He says, yeah, it's going to be a 3% increase. Now, I don't know if it's going to be every year. But that's something else I got to check, but at least upfront, plus – but Lisa is exactly right. $45 million for tank. That's what they estimate. You know, it's just like everything else the government does. Oh, it's only going to cost this much. Yeah. Well, this much plus 10% plus cost overruns. Jim.
Yeah. The reason they throw you out of your house, is that because they turn the electricity off or because they turn the water off and it's a sanitation issue?
It's because they turn the electricity off and the water is still there from what I understand. And they say then it becomes, and then they supposedly they also look at it and say there's other things wrong with the house, but then it becomes a safety issue, especially if you're in an apartment or a multi-family dwelling.
Because they think people are going to burn candles or something?
Well, yeah.
But the thing with it is, if you look at a list of the national and state of California causes for fires, candles are way down on the list. Actually, something that's very surprising that's way high on the list is having electricity hooked to your house.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, so, it's faulty wiring.
That just sounds ridiculous. That, I mean, I can understand water, you know, being a sanitation issue, but, you know, there's people that in all parts of the world that live without electricity. It's, you know, not very convenient, but people do it, and I don't see why people can't, you know, go a couple weeks or a month without it.
Well, Jim, you know, this is what started the whole thing with the abatement issue. And what the city council did was, let's appoint a commission. Well, that was back in January. 6 months later, we've got the same answers. Okay, Jim, thanks a lot for your
phone call. Bye.
Gary, we got to thank you. We're out of time.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks for coming in and talking to the committee. And again, we applaud the committee for all the
thank
hard work
you.
They did. And again, you know, whether it's a part-time job or not, city council ran for this office.
We always want to encourage you to email us at freefireradio.com. We love to hear your comments, what you want to hear. We'll discuss it. It's an open line. Always remember, it's an open line. So we're here for you and what you want to listen to, what topic you want to hear about.
And it's going to just keep changing every day. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?